The Will Cain Show podcast is presented by the Capital One Saver Card. Earn 4% cash back on dining and entertainment, 2% at grocery stores, and 1% on all other purchases.
This is the Will Cain Podcast on ESPN Radio.
You want something to look forward to? How about Chiefs Ravens? You want something to look forward to? How about Chiefs Saints? The NFL schedule is out, and it's given us all something to look forward to. Now, cross our fingers, say our prayers, and hope it all comes true. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and on ESPN News, presented by Progressive Insurance. And you can join the conversation at 888-729-3776. Let's head into the weekend, thinking about what the fall might bring us. It will be a veritable smorgasbord of sports headlined by the NFL. Jim Harbaugh has a proposal to change college football for the better. It's no super conference, as we've workshopped here on the Will Cain Show throughout this week, but he has a proposal for when college football players can turn pro. And it's pretty good. That's coming up a little bit later today on the Will Cain Show, as is our homework. There's been a lot of pre-show angst, bickering, arguing about the category this week for our homework. Bubba, the winner of Best Movie at Sea with Jaws, got to nominate the category. And the category this weekend for our homework is psychological thrillers. That's right. Psychological thrillers. Trust us. We were as confused as you were. As we went into our pre-show meeting, there was a lot of, as I mentioned, bickering over what the definition of a psychological thriller is. Is the category as broad as it might seem? Are there any examples of The Rock appearing in a psychological thriller? I will say, Bubba was narrowing his categories down to two potentialities. Number one, psychological thrillers. Number two, movie starring Nicolas Cage. I think he did us all a favor and nominated psychological thrillers as our weekend homework, and so you can help us out at least setting the big board before we draft our movies in the third hour of the show today at 888-729-3776. But it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. The NFL schedule is out. 2020 is set. At least the ideal situation, and there are some good times to be had if, in fact, coronavirus exits stage left and we get a full 17-week, 16-game slate of NFL games. You will get games like Week 3, Chiefs-Ravens, or how about Week 4, Eagles-Niners, Week 8, Cowboys-Eagles. That'll be our first chance for an accountability bowl. But here are the three big moments I want to leave you with. Here are the three biggest weeks in the NFL, according to yours truly. Number one, it is Week 1. Week 1 puts the NFL off on the right footing. What a weekend of games. Your two biggest are these. On Sunday Night Football, you will have the Dallas Cowboys traveling to Los Angeles to take on the Los Angeles Rams in their new, shiny stadium. Expect a ratings blockbuster. Expect offensive points. Expect an entertaining game. That is, if the game takes place in Los Angeles at all. Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, suggested if, in fact, Governor Gavin Newsom keeps the state on lockdown and doesn't allow games to take place in that state, there are potential contingency plans for the NFL's three teams in California. For example, the San Francisco 49ers could play their games in Arizona. The Los Angeles Chargers could play their games in Las Vegas. And the Los Angeles Rams could play their games in Dallas. So Week 1, Cowboys-Rams could be a home game for the Los Angeles Rams in Dallas. Either way, what a start. Add to that, Chiefs-Texans in Week 1. Again, let the scoreboard start ringing it up. Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes, points, my friends, points. Chiefs, Texans, Cowboys, Rams, and they aren't even the best game of the weekend. No, what I'm most excited about on week one is the New Orleans Saints and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Brady, Breeze, two 40-year-old quarterbacks ready to square off in the NFC South. I cannot wait to see the new improved Tampa Bay Buccaneers take on the reigning power in the NFC South. Saints Bucks week one is your headliner. But Lewis Riddick, ESPN's NFL insider, said this morning on Get Up, it could be a rough start for the GOAT. Listen.
When we talk about, hey, well, where division game's going to be later in the year, well, not for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And then they play against some very good defenses as well. They play against the Denver Broncos, who are going to have Von Miller and Bradley Chubb is returning. They play against the Los Angeles Chargers, who have Joey Bosa, Melvin Ingram. So right off the bat, this new offense in particular, which is going to be, you know, the point of debate for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers early in the season, just how quickly can the offense get on the same page? They're going to be faced. They're going to face some stiff competition and be put to the fire right away, which is something that you figure, hey, look, if you get all those primetime games, you have all these expectations, you have people talking about Tampa Bay as being a Super Bowl favorite. Well, we're going to find out, because they're going to have to face the fire and go through the fire right away, right off the beginning.
I believe they will, and I think it will take a little time for that Tampa Bay Buccaneers offense to come together. That's why I'm predicting a loss for the Buccaneers in week one. For what it's worth, I'm also predicting a loss for the Dallas Cowboys in week one to the Los Angeles Rams for the very same reason. It'll take some time for that offense to come together under a new coaching staff. Lewis Riddick will jump on our show in just a little bit here to explain exactly what he thinks is in store for Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But week one is one of my three favorite weeks on the NFL schedule. Second, week nine. This, in my estimation, provides you the best game of the year. This is the rematch of Saints Buccaneers, which should be a different story. This time, there will be 8 games of play under the Tampa Bay Buccaneers belt. This time, it will be in Tampa Bay. And this time, I expect the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to beat the New Orleans Saints. And this time, I expect the NFC South to be on the line. That's the game all season long that I am looking the most forward to. And there are some good ones to compete with, like Chiefs-Ravens in week 3. But that brings us to, perhaps, the most exciting full slate of a weekend in the NFL, and that is week 15. In week 15, you will have Cowboys, 49ers, and Chiefs-Saints. Most everyone's Super Bowl prediction. The New Orleans Saints and the Kansas City Chiefs face off in week 15. 1-9-15. Many teams represented on the Monday, Sunday, and Thursday night primetime schedules. And Laura Rudge, ESPN host, was asked on Get Up which teams will not live up to their primetime billing.
I would say the Cowboys. And that just has to do with the fact that I think they're a very good team on paper. And we saw last year, they looked like a very good team. They picked up a big time wide receiver in CeeDee Lamb in the draft, but we still don't know what's going on with Dak Prescott. They've got Andy Dalton there now, which makes you think that things could be a little weirder with Dak than we really thought. And some have said, you know, maybe Dak needs to look at the Dalton signing as disrespect. Who knows? But I just wonder where they are. And I would say that you always put the Cowboys in primetime. They're America's team. They're the Cowboys. Yeah. But are they up to that caliber? And last season was disappointing. It felt like, you know, how is this team not a major contender?
I think they are a major contender, Laura. In fact, my prediction for the Dallas Cowboys on the season is to go 10-6. I think they'll stumble out of the gates with a loss at the Rams. I think they'll stumble, as they always do, as almost every team in the NFL does, taking a loss they should not have taken. I'm predicting that comes at home to the Arizona Cardinals. But they will win games that nobody expects them to. They will beat the San Francisco 49ers in Dallas. They will split with the Philadelphia Eagles. Their bye lands perfectly before an away game in Minnesota. And I predict the Dallas Cowboys will go on a 4-game winning stretch in December to finish 10-6 and win the NFC East over a 10-6 Philadelphia Eagles team. That's my prediction, and that's Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. I also have my predictions for both the Buccaneers and the Patriots coming up a little bit later on the Will Cain Show, and we'll talk to you about some of the best weekends in the fall, not just when you include the NFL slate, but when you will get crossover with the final day of the Masters, the final day of the U.S. Open, the final day of the French Open. We have some fun weekends in store this coming fall. But next, Jim Harbaugh has an idea to improve college football, and I think he's on to something. That's next on the Will Cain Show.
Capital One knows life doesn't alert you about your credit card. That's why we created Eno, the Capital One assistant that looks out for surprise credit card charges like overtipping, duplicate charges, or potential fraud, then sends an alert to your phone and helps if you need to fix them. Another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you're not. Capital One, what's in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details.
GEICO has the insurance industry-leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere. Which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
GEICO, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
The weekend. It's time for our homework. It's time to entertain good ideas, and Jim Harbaugh might just have one about the future of college football. It's the Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Hey, you missing basketball? You should tune in Sunday for an NBA Classic, Game 4 of the 1998 NBA Finals. Bulls-Jazz, presented by Home Depot. Coverage begins at 5 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Let me share with you Jim Harbaugh's idea in just a moment. But our weekend homework is psychological thrillers. It was nominated by Bubba. Now, there are many people that are upset, including Pat. What we figured out is Pat wants to watch a movie that is the equivalent of cotton candy, I think. I think that's fair, Pat. You like movies that don't challenge you very much.
Yeah, well, so here's why.
I'm not even taking a shot at you.
No, it's a fair point because I work on the weekends. So the last thing I want to do is come back from a day of stressful work and go home and watch a movie that then stresses me out more. I just want to watch something where I can shut my brain off.
Stressful work?
Pat, what's the most stressful thing about your job?
I produce two different shows over the weekend, man.
No, I didn't talk about like how hard you have to work. What about the most stressful? What is it? Is it dealing with Peter Burns? What is it? What's the most stressful?
Well, it's dealing with Nuno most of the time, but. Mm-hmm.
Well, I will tell you this. I did a little deep dive on psychological thrillers earlier, and I actually think Pat has a point. I was trying to remember psychological thrillers, and you know what I fell down the rabbit hole of? Requiem for a Dream. Did anybody see that? I saw it once. I won't be nominating it today. It is no fun. Some of these psychological thrillers, Bubba, I hope you're prepared, are not fun. Hopefully we can find some fun ones. Let's see if Grant in Tennessee has a good one to put up on our big board. What's up, Grant?
Howdy.
Howdy.
When you started talking about psychological thrillers, my mind immediately went to Christopher Nolan's Memento.
Yes,
and,
definitely.
Also Inception. Really his movies.
Are all of Christopher Nolan's movies psychological thrillers? They just might be.
I think they can all be labeled as that. Like, you wouldn't think Interstellar is a immediate psychological thriller, but it has its moments.
I don't know. He was trapped in some world where he couldn't get through a wall because of time and space, and his brain was going everywhere, and he started crying. I mean, I haven't seen Matthew McConaughey cry like that. I agree with you. Sure. Inception and Memento, two good psychological thrillers. What about Ricky in Texas? What's up, Ricky?
Well, are you doing? Long-time listener. Two things. Just want to say Happy Mother's Day to you and your wife. And then another, Shutter Island with Leonardo DiCaprio.
Is that Christopher Nolan, too, by the way?
No, it's not Christopher Nolan.
That's Scorsese.
I don't know on top of my head, but it does have Leonardo DiCaprio.
I think it's Scorsese. Huh. Yes, it's stressful, by the way. Don't let Pat watch that one. It's very stressful. Ricky, thanks for the Mother's Day wish for my wife and for me. Andrew in Iowa, what's up? Oh, okay. One more then. John from California. Thank you, Nuno. What's up, John?
Hey, I'm just
Got a couple of psychological thrillers for your list there.
Okay. Whenever you're ready, fire away, John.
Okay. I've got The Sixth Sense with Brad Pitt and The Usual Suspects.
Well, okay. Well, let me think about that, John. Okay, first of all, The Usual Suspects was one of our nominees in the heist movie category, which I appreciate the call. And The Sixth Sense is definitely a psychological thriller, but I don't think Brad Pitt was in it.
I think he was looking for Bruce Willis.
Hey, was 12 Monkeys a psychological thriller? That's Brad Pitt. Was that? I can't remember if that was a psychological thriller or not. I think we're getting our arms around the category. Inception, Memento, Sixth Sense. You know, this is what we're talking about here. You know, Pat, you'll be able to find one in the old days. Like, you can get out, Rear Window, you know, Psycho.
Yeah, I was going to go Psycho.
Well, I'm looking at The Rock's filmography here, and I'm thinking maybe Tooth Fairy. I don't know if that one was much of a psychological thriller, but we could figure one out for you, Pat, from that genre as well. Jim Harbaugh, the head coach of the University of Michigan Wolverines, has an idea to improve college football. It is as follows. He proposes the players can turn pro whenever they want, after their freshman year, after their sophomore year, no waiting on that 3-year window the NFL currently has in place. Harbaugh wrote, "There are early bloomers capable of competing in the NFL and earning a livelihood at an earlier age. The goal would be to create a scenario that makes adjustments for all current and future student athletes that puts the timeline for transition to professional football at their discretion and that of their family. And I propose an option that allows them to make the decision that is best for them." I agree with Jim Harbaugh. You should be able to turn professional in your chosen field whenever you want. I believe that. If you have special talents, capitalism allows you to go maximize the return on those talents. If you can be a professional football player at 18, 19, go with God. Same in basketball, same in computer engineering, same in art. If you're amazing at whatever you do at age 15, I think you should be allowed to go make money at it. I don't like this rule that says students have to wait 3 years to be a professional football player, 1 year to be a professional basketball player. I find it anti-free market, honestly. And by the way, Harbaugh has some other proposals that would offset some of the potential concerns you might have. What if you go undrafted? He says, then you should be able to come back to school. Go ahead. Return to the school that you left behind. He also proposed lifting the hard cap on the number of scholarships a school can offer per year. Right now, that is set at 25. He also proposed that you can stay in college and play football for 5 years. None of this redshirting anymore, where you could have 4 years of eligibility within a 5-year window. Jim Harbaugh proposing ideas that I think would make not just more sense in a free market, but make college football better. By the way, Mike Greenberg and Laura Rutledge were discussing this on GetUp, and they did bring up a problem, but problems should be searching for solutions, not killing ideas. Listen to this.
The rule wouldn't necessarily have to be that the school that the player was at has to take the player back, right? The player could just have eligibility, it seems to me, and if another school wants them, they can have them.
And that's why this is so fascinating to these college football coaches. In the world of the transfer portal, they're going to try to say, how can we get as much talent at our university as possible? And that's one thing that this would do. Of course, it creates a Pandora's box ripple effect that we can all agree would open up a lot of eyeballs.
Yes, though what they're discussing there is, if a player goes undrafted and he wants to return to college, does he have to return to the school he left behind? Or better yet, does the school have to accept him back? Could it have offered that scholarship on to someone else, some recruit they're bringing in? It would set this in motion, this free agency period in college football, which, by the way, would be a lot of fun after the draft. I think these are all small problems that don't kill a really good idea from Jim Harbaugh. This is something that I think college football should pursue. I'll ask Lewis Riddick about that and why he thinks the Buccaneers will have such a hard time coming out of the gate. That's coming up on The Will Cain Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
GEICO gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday. Social security. Is that a thing? Hey, Mom, what is my social security number? Mom? 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 Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico. Always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
It seems like the Super Bowl, now that the schedule is out, comes down to four teams. The Bucks, the Saints, the Chiefs, or the Ravens. It's run by Lewis Riddick coming up in just a moment here on the Will Cain Show. But it's time for your SportsCenter update. In cities where coronavirus testing has become readily available to at-risk health care workers, NBA teams are opening facilities up for voluntary workouts, and they will be allowed to administer COVID-19 tests to asymptomatic players and staff, sources tell ESPN. And Tony Ferguson and Justin Gaethje both made weight Friday morning in Jacksonville, Florida, for their UFC 249 interim lightweight title bout. Both fighters weighed in at 155. You can watch UFC 249 tomorrow night exclusively on ESPN Plus pay-per-view. SportsCenter is brought to you by Nature Valley. If you love Nature Valley sweet and salty bars, you'll love the new sweet and salty minis. It's all the indulgent savory goodness you know, now in a smaller size. And at 100 calories, snacking has never been so sweet. The Bucks may be one of the teams people are predicting in the NFC Championship game, but will they stumble out of the gate? That's what ESPN NFL front office insider Lewis Riddick said this morning. What's up, Lewis?
Will, how you doing, man?
I'm good. So I think it's pretty rational, pretty logical. Maybe it's obvious. Is it just that it's going to be a new team and everybody's trying to put it together, but you think it's going to be a little bit of a rough start for the Bucks?
Sure. I mean, look, opening weekend, you go to New Orleans against a veteran team that's been together for a while, a head coach, quarterback combination that's been together forever, a team that really has maybe won, you know, a couple controversial calls 3 years in a row, well, 2 years in a row, plus a miracle play away from, you know, possibly being in the Super Bowl. I mean, it's this team is primed right now. They're primed to go. Tampa Bay is going to need to – people are going to need to be patient with them, although I don't know if patience is going to be something that people have because of the heightened expectations down there. So I think they lose that game. I mean, they can win, you know, bounce back against Carolina, and I went through their schedule. I mean, Broncos is setting up for like an upset. They come back home, beat the Chargers, short week, lose to the Bears. I think it's going to be rocky here and there in the beginning of the year, and then they close out strong those last four games after that late season bye.
What'd you have the Buccaneers when you went through their schedule? What was their final record?
10-6.
10-6.
10-6, and that's with a, you know, a week 16 loss at Detroit, which is an upset. But again, it's the Matt Patricia factor. He knows Tom Brady. He's given the Patriots trouble since he's been head coach at Detroit. It's that kind of thing, which I could definitely see happening, you know, once again with Tampa traveling up there late in the season.
I used the same rationale, Lewis, to give the Cowboys a loss in week one to the Rams. I don't know yet where that game's going to be played. It's supposed to be played in Los Angeles. We'll see how that works out. But by the same rationale you applied to the Buccaneers, we'll see how the new offense, the new players mesh with Mike McCarthy. I can't expect it to come out of week one, you know, roaring out of the gates. What do you think about that?
No, that's totally fair and totally rational. Like, I think week one, And Coach Belichick puts it best. Week one is one of those things where if you really think you know how a team's going to come out, then you have no idea. Because it's totally a different set of circumstances where players are playing for the first time for a full 60 minutes. You know, you have cold weather teams possibly going to warm weather places where the weather is just extremely oppressively hot. And next thing, and those guys run out of gas, so you have that kind of thing happen. I saw that happen in New England 1 year, opening weekend, go down to Miami, opening weekend, and they're steamrolling the Dolphins for half. Next thing you know, in the second half, they're out of gas, and Miami just rolls them. And they had no business winning the game. So I think week one's a crapshoot, and it's just one of those where you, especially this year in particular, Will, where you have no off season, you got to favor the teams that have familiarity with one another and who have been together for a while. You have to give those guys the benefit of the doubt.
One of the things for anybody that likes to go through their schedule and write W and L next to these games is it never works out. I think what everybody does is they go, oh, well, you're a favorite in this game, I'll give you a W. But that's not how the schedule works out. You always lose games you're not supposed to. And by the way, on the other side of that coin, win games nobody expects you to. You brought up a couple with the Buccaneers. You talked about the Lions in Week 16. You said the Broncos are setting up for an upset. As you looked at the schedule, like which ones jumped out at you, either because the bye fell perfectly or the weather, where you're like, that's going to be a tough game and nobody's expecting it for whatever team?
Yeah, I think, you know, I'm just sitting here looking at this Buccaneers schedule since it's the one that we – we scrutinize the most. I mean, look, they come off of short weeks, and I have them losing every one of their games, but they come off a short week. I mean, they play the Chargers, let's see here, 1, 2, 3, week four, and then they go to the Bears on a Thursday. That's a short week. I mean, how many times does the visiting team win on a Sunday, Thursday turnaround? They just don't. You know, they play the Giants on the Monday night, and then they play the Saints that following week, a short week. So that's two losses for the Saints in their division. I have them losing that one. You know, they play the Los Angeles Rams on a Monday night at home. They turn around on a short week and play the Kansas City Chiefs at home. Now, you say, well, but that's at home. Yeah, it's also the Kansas City Chiefs. It's also, you know, a short week. So those kind of scenarios, if you're going to go ahead and be in the business of trying to put W's and L's, as you call it, and as we all do, onto a schedule at this point in time, those are the things you have to factor in. And rest, as we know, is critical when it comes to having a competitive advantage in the NFL, especially this year where you would figure this. Attrition is going to play a big factor, maybe even more of a factor this year than in previous years, because you don't have the normal offseason. You don't know how guys are going to respond once they start training in a much more structured environment and then get into training camp. And then you don't know how fatigue is going to play a factor relative to injuries once you get into the regular season. So rest and recuperation is going to be at an absolute premium. And the Buccaneers are one of those teams that play a lot of those short week games, man. And so whenever you're going through a schedule and you're looking at it, that has to be a huge factor in whether or not you're projecting this team to win or lose, all things being equal.
Lewis Riddick, ESPN NFL front office insider here on the Will Cain Show. There's always massive turnover when it comes to playoff teams. I think it's close to 50% of teams that didn't make the playoffs a year. I mean, whoever makes the playoffs, 50% of them didn't make it a year ago.
Right.
As you look
right.
at teams that are sort of underappreciated right now, who do you think is going to be good that we're probably not giving them full credit for because they weren't last year?
Yeah, I think there's a couple. You know, I think the Broncos and the Raiders in particular are two that are going to make massive jumps this year. I think the Raiders have to make a massive jump considering all of the draft picks and draft capital they've expended on the defensive side of the ball in previous years. And then this year, they just go full bore with trying to get some perimeter weapons. And right now, Coach Gruden doesn't have any excuses. Paul Gunther, their defensive coordinator, has to get more mileage out of the players they have drafted previously. Plus, they're going to get some people back this year that they lost last year, like Jonathan Abram, who they lost in the first game that I was at for the Monday night opener. Then Derek Carr himself has to play better this year, or who knows, he may not be the quarterback in the future for the Raiders, given all the weapons that they gave him as well. So, I mean, I think they're one of the teams. I think Denver, Drew Locke is being set up for success. Obviously, John Elway thinks he is the future. Otherwise, he wouldn't have drafted Judy and Hamler like he did in the first and second round. And then Noah Fant, who the former number one pick last year, a tight end out of Iowa. I mean, they have weapons galore, too. So I think they can make a big jump. The other team, I'll tell you, keep an eye on the Indianapolis Colts. I think that team, I can't say never, but you seldom hear a GM in Chris Ballard and their head coach Frank Reich talk as glowingly and like as passionately about wanting the players that they got with their first two picks in Michael Pittman Jr. and Jonathan Taylor. They think those guys totally flipped the script for them along with Phillip Rivers. Heck, I heard the comparisons of Michael Pittman Jr. to Vincent Jackson, who was in San Diego with who? Phillip Rivers, who's now their quarterback in Indianapolis. That's another team keep an eye on.
The Raiders, the Broncos, and the Colts. All right. Lewis Riddick, ESPN's NFL front office insider here on the Will Cain Show. I always appreciate you, man.
You got it, buddy. All right. I'll see you.
We'll see you. The Will Cain Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Quoting home insurance just got easier with Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Quote and buy all online at progressive.com. Well, Bubba, I'm going to give you this. The phone lines are lit up and the social media is lighting up. Everybody's in on psychological thrillers, so shocker, Pat's in the minority once again. So what is a psychological thriller, and what should we be nominating? That's next on The Will Cain Show.
Foot odor throwing you off your game? Stick to a winning game plan with Odor Eaters, featuring three advanced odor and wetness fighters. The lineup provides long-lasting odor control plus more to keep your feet on their game.
Odor Eaters powder provides outstanding moisture control. Clear drying spray is the MVP in preventing athlete's foot, while insoles work continuously to manage wetness while adding a layer of comfort. Pick up today at Walmart, Target, CVS, Dollar General, or other fine retailers.
Odor Eaters. Destroy foot odor with the best in odor defense.
Well, we've got the schedule. We've got the biggest games. We know what will be the biggest ratings winner. I know which ones I'm most excited about. Now we've got to figure out how we're going to fit all this into our sports schedule. The biggest, most jam-packed, most exciting sports days in the fall coming up here on the Will Cain Show. Plus, is it all going to happen anyway? Or is it a pipe dream? Tune into The Last Dance, a behind-the-scenes look at the 90 Chicago Bulls dynasty. The series continues this Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN. And listen to the Wrap-Up podcast hosted by Jalen and Jacoby immediately following the broadcast presented by State Farm and AT&T, available wherever you enjoy your podcasts. The homework this weekend, as decided by last week's winner, Bubba, is psychological thrillers. Nuno, I think everybody, when he first brought this up, was like, what? What does that even mean? How do we even decide what's in and out of the category?
There was some disgust there, and I think part of the issue maybe is the fact that, like, I think he talked this over with Mike A, and let's be honest, Mike A's, some of his movies have been horrendous. So,
Mike A is the guy who thinks he's a genius but doesn't pick anything good.
Oh! Hey, let me... Mike's won a couple weekends, so neither of you have won.
He's also
one
lost
weekend.
The most of anyone.
Well, I mean, would you rather have some W's on your record, even if it came with some L's? Or you and Nuno, it's like, thanks for playing.
He's the Cy Young of this game. He's got the most wins and losses. Like,
I will say this about Mike. You know, he's got that game. What's the name of the game we're playing?
Butthurt.
Yeah, yeah. He pulled a card the other day. He did not use it. The card was, let's just do it really quickly. I want to see what you say. Which one of us on the show is full of the most BS?
No.
3, 2, 1.
Mike.
And that's with me on the show. That's counting me. I'm here. Everyone recognizes that.
Yeah, I was close to saying Will, but.
You're close second, but
I realize that. But the point is, I'm second, so Mike needs to realize that. Yeah, but no, Bubba gave us his other option was Nicolas Cage movies. So I think in retrospect, we're all okay with psychological thrillers.
Yeah, as long as I would have gone Nick Cage. As long as they're under 2 hours this week, you know, whatever, you watch them.
Hey, Nick Cage would have been fun. We'd have had a little face-off in there, probably a little snake eyes. I think Raising Arizona might not hold up the way I want it to. That would have been fun, but instead it's psychological thrillers. So let's fill out the big board. Here's some of the nominees so far. Inception, Memento, Silence of the Lambs. I'm going to read some. Nuno was big on Rear Window in the pre-show meeting. Taxi Driver was mentioned. Here, let's ask Chris, who's on the phone lines. What's up, Chris? You got one for us?
Oh, yeah, let's go. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Right on. So I thought about this a lot. I have two. The first one would have to be The Joker. The second one, this thing is literally, every time I watch it, I have no idea what's going on. It's called Buster's Malheart.
Never heard of it. Buster's what?
Check it out. Buster's Malheart.
Malheart?
Buster's Malheart with Rami Malek. It's literally so nuts.
Okay, I thought maybe you're doing one of those things where you make me say a name that actually says something else when I say it out loud. All right, Buster's Malheart. All right, thanks, man. And Joker, definitely Joker's on the list. Travis in Illinois, what do we need to add here to the big board, the brainstorming session?
Hey, what's going on, Will? Well, you already have one on there. I think it's by far the GOAT. That's Silence of the Lambs. Whoever picks that's probably going to win. But a close second, I think Seven. I think you got to put Seven on there. That movie
definitely
insane.
I don't know. I don't think Silence of the Lambs is a clear winner at all. I think Seven might give it a run for its money right there. That's good stuff. Hey, what about Gone Girl? Did anybody ever see Gone Girl? That was pretty good. Ben Affleck, his wife. I don't want to give any spoilers. That could be a good one. Marianne in New York. What's up, Marianne?
Hi. Hi, Will.
Hi.
So I have four.
Four. Okay.
I mentioned them four. Okay. I have Parasite, Mystery, Fatal Attraction, and Fargo.
Parasite, Fatal Attraction, and Fargo. Good. What was the second one?
Mystery.
Mystery? Just Mystery?
Mystery with James Caan and Kathy Bates.
All right.
That was like the 90s, early 90s.
Oh, Misery. Movies. Yeah, Misery. Yeah, yep. Yeah, I remember that, where she cracks his ankles and all that. Yes. All right. Good
yeah.
stuff.
Hey, we have a caller on line 9 who's a little upset with what just happened before.
Oh, I think I know who it is. Caller on line 9?
Right, you know who it is. First off, me full of the most BS.
Were you
real
Mike,
Kane show,
hold on.
I'm full of the most BS.
Okay, hold on.
No,
hold on.
No, no, no,
hold
no, no,
on,
no,
Mike.
You're going to listen. Go ahead.
Let me tell you. Go ahead. Go ahead. It's Mike A. on the phone. Okay, first of all, Mike, you said earlier you're not wearing a meter. It's clear that you should be. You were listening to the show, and we're glad you called in. Are you really blown away that it was unanimous that you were number one in BS? Yes, even with me on the show.
Well, I mean, considering the way you set it up. I mean, Pat's a puppy dog who follows wherever he's told to go. So you set it up with, hold on, Mike had this while the conversation was about me. You're, hold on, let's ask. Mike had this card, and let's see what he says. Everybody took the cue to say me. And second, I mean, some of the worst movies, I finished it twice.
I got your back on that. I had you.
I
know
I
you're full
hear
of
that. I'm, this one's not about you. This one's about can't pick anything. The Rock isn't starring Pat, you know, and Nuno who picks his own movie so he doesn't finish in last.
Speaking of that, Pat, do you have a psychological thriller that stars The Rock yet, Pat? Have you figured it out?
Haven't been able to turn one up yet, but I got a crack team back here still on it.
Okay, that'll be very disappointing if you don't nominate a Rock based. Mike, you got to add something to the big board here. You're going to be drafting in the third hour. What are we missing on the big board?
What about? I've been looking up what's considered a psychological thriller. Is Pulp Fiction, Fight Club? Are they considered psychological thrillers?
I think Fight Club is. I think Pulp Fiction is not. I don't think there's any psychological.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So.
Yeah,
so,
those are some I'm kicking around at the one spot.
Are you a big fan of Black Swan? That should probably get up there, right, Mike? Black Swan?
No, but you did mention a movie I am considering.
Whoa, hold on.
Requiem for a Dream.
Don't do it, Mike.
Thank you for listening to the Will Kane Podcast. You can listen to the Will Kane Show live weekdays at 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. The Will Kane Podcast.